listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Put my smoking jacket on. The fireplace is burning and the girlie is warm. Time to make my move so gently I kiss her. Whisper in her ears and tell her that I miss her. She might try to pop that boyfriend junk, but I don't really care because I know he's a punk. I'll stomp him like a roach if he tries to approach. He can't get close because I'm the one who wrote. I'm the one who wrote. All right. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast with your host Rod and
Karen.
Heavy D sound a little rapey on that one. I don't know. I might need to finish that verse. I don't remember what else happened in that song.
Me either.
You might fuck around and be like, didn't I just take the pussy?
Like, what?
Ha ha ha.
He's a quaalude. What? Where's we going with this, sir?
It's amazing the shit that slips by you from old shit because you just didn't know any better.
That, and I think a lot of people just didn't listen to music.
That's
and
true.
Once you go older, it's something about getting older that makes you listen to lyrics.
Yeah, and for the record, I'm not implying Heavy D was a rapist. I really don't know the rest of those lyrics. Oh. I was just looking at it and was like, wait a minute. I don't remember the words being like this. No. Fuck that boyfriend junk? What does that mean? She got a boyfriend, man. Let her go.
Right. A lot of it is, as people get older, they actually listen to music, because I know when I was young, I was about that boom in that bass and shaking my ass. And when people have children, they have a tendency to want to filter through music and tell children how their music ain't shit when your music wasn't shit either. But, you know, nobody wants to admit that their quote-unquote genre of music wasn't that. Everything we listen to in our genre wasn't the shit. I know people don't want to admit that. And I remember you talking about this before, where once people get out of the age where they have unlimited time, they freeze in that front time frame, and everything after that point is bullshit, and that's not so.
Yeah, I just don't remember. Let me see if I can play this. I just don't remember it.
Oh, yeah, this old school music right here.
I mean, he talked about beating up her boyfriend, because, like, I don't, like, how did the boyfriend get involved? She cheating. Now, why I'm going to get my ass whooped? She down your house by the fireplace, and now you Heavy D showing up beating me up? For
right,
what?
Right. No, no, sir.
Sitting in my room with my smoker jacket on. The fireplace is burning and the girlie is warm. Time to make my move, so gently I kiss her. Kiss her.
God damn, I love old hip hop. God, I love it. It's so, like, it's so earnest. It's so earnest, like, it's not cynical at all, man. Mm-hmm. Like, he really was just like, he got his voice in the background in the studio saying the words with him and shit, and the fire is warm, you know,
of course.
Like, niggas showed up and got a check that day to say, and the fire is warm.
That shit I would too.
Tell her I miss her.
Yeah, they weren't trying to be too cool. Like, fuck it, a check, dog.
And that's when I turned down Fulton Boulevard. Like, it's a nigga that got paid to just say that. That's crazy.
I tell her that I miss her. She might try to pop that boyfriend junk, but I don't really care because I know he's a punk. I'll stop him like a roach if he tries to approach. He can't get close because I'm the one who broke the book of romance. So come on, take a chance. You don't need a long look. All you need is a glance. If you want to get warm, in my arms you belong. You have a problem, have a problem up. It can't go wrong. When overweight lovers in the house, the house. The overweight lovers in the house, the house. The overweight lovers in the house. The overweight lovers in the house. Said I couldn't do it.
So basically, he just gonna beat up the dude and take his chick. So, I mean, it doesn't. I was worried it was going somewhere rapey, but it sounds like his whole thing is she wants to be with me and don't worry about what your boyfriend thinks about it, because I'll beat his ass, which I still feel is a harsh way to resolve that problem. Right. You know, what that poor guy, you know, that dude need to have a rap song called Heavy D Beat Me Up For No Reason. And then I was walking down the hall.
It got punched in the face by the, as I was walking down the hall and seeing my girl with the old way lover, then he punched me.
Yeah.
That's gonna be the end of that song.
He punched me in the face in the house.
You're right. My jaw is broke in the house. Going to the hospital in the house.
I didn't even do nothing.
ER in the house.
All right, MC victim.
Right.
And it was fun. Now every day of your life you want to be with me. When you got time to spend, you spend time with Heavy D. Heavy D. I noticed that you hold me gentle as a rose.
Somebody need to bring this style of rap back. Not because it's good, but because it's funny. I want to go to that concert.
Oh, that would be the best shit.
But ever. in 2016, anyway, this is Black Owl Tips. That has nothing to do with anything. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher. Just search the Black Owl Tips. It'll come up. Leave us 5-star reviews. And, if you, say something nice, we'll read it on the show.
Mm-hmm.
The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
An unofficial sport.
It's bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And, today's show is brought to you by listeners just like you. Mm-hmm. Listeners that support us and help us continue to be great.
Yes, sir.
Matter of fact, let's give a shout out to all the people that donated to the show while I pull up my donations and get the donation music going. Let's see, where is my song for the donations? Come on now. That is not right. Oh, here we go.
More money, I want your money. I want more money, I want your money. More money, I want your money. I want more money, I want your money. Once upon a time, not long ago, I was a hoe.
Oh, my bad. That's what I play in my car after we get paid. All right, here's the music.
I must say, that's the wrong music, Pastor.
I dedicate this song.
Who put that CD in the damn player? I'm sorry. And unemployment.
This song's for you. Today's a new day.
That's right. New day, new pay. New year, new me. Let's talk about this money. People that donated to the show. Chris F. Chet F. Recurring donator. Thank you, Chet.
That's new. I don't remember that.
I believe that is new. Okay. I don't remember Chet before.
Mm-mm.
Joy M. Recurring donator. Thank you, Joy. You bring us joy.
Mm-hmm.
Shantae B, return donator. Thank you, Shantae. Double A Media.
Mm-hmm.
Catherine B, yes. Catherine B, return donator.
A lot of new folks.
Shirley Wong, Esquire. Please say the Esquire.
Official lawyer.
Jane N, return donator. She's brand new. Thank you, Jane.
Yes.
Go join the new members class.
Yes, but come right.
We appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh wait, I meant to delete that one. Let me get that back. All right. Also, Dana W. Thank you very much, Dana.
Thank you.
Tanya S, recurring donator, brand new recurring donator. Thank you, Tanya.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer OZ, 40 ounces of love. Alexis H, recurring donator. Thank you. Rosalie V. Kashana K.
That's definitely new.
Yeah, that's definitely.
I remember that name.
Yeah, that's new. We appreciate y'all though. That's everybody this week that donated to the show. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Play me out, Kurt.
It ain't easy, bud.
Today's a new day. But tell me, where are my blue skies?
Where is that love, y'all?
You know what, Karen? This would be a perfect time for me to tell you. The other day, I was driving in my car.
Mm-hmm.
And I was driving in the car, and I heard a voice call out to me, and it said, "Rod, are you happy with this car?" And I said, "Who the hell got in my car?" I pulled over to the side. Then I checked the trunk and everything. I said, "This is crazy." And so I got back in the car after thoroughly checking the trunk and everything. Nobody was in there.
Of course not.
And they said, "Rod, I'm still here. Are you happy with this car?" And I said, "I'm very happy with this car. It's not a fancy car, but it's mine, you know?"
I knew so.
And he said, "Is this all you think I can do?" And I said, "Yes, nigga, this is all. Like, what? Why would you want to do more than this? Everything's working, okay? Got a new tire. Everything's taken care of. AC works. I'm doing fine. Car smell good. People at Taco Bell tell me that all the time." And he said, "Well, all right then, fuck you then, nigga." I said, "Well, fuck you then. Get out of my car anyway. Ain't nobody asked you to come in here." He was like, "Well then, fuck, well I'm out then." And I said, "Bye." He said, "Cool, I'm about to go get somebody a plane." I said, "Damn, you didn't say nothing about a plane. Mm-hmm. Why didn't you say that up front? I would have loved a plane."
See?
But now, you know, I can't get a plane.
Mm-mm.
So it's cool.
No, come and talk to me, because when I get blessed, he get blessed. So you ask me, I'm like, "Look, you can do more than you talking about."
Well, it's too late, Karen. He's
nope.
Already, he said,
mm-mm.
"Fuck me." He's not
nope.
working with.
Mm-mm.
Okay, well,
he
I'll send
come
him
visit me.
I'll send him your way.
Thank you.
Because at the end, he said, "I'm out. And I said, what's your name anyway? He said, Satan. And then he left. So Karen, I'll send him to you. You're welcome. From heaven, light the shine. Hardship, difficulty. Anyway,
that's not true.
That's
story.
What happened. That's what happened. You told me to send it your way. Yep.
That's why you not a true story.
Should have listened to the whole story before you start butting in.
I think you made that whole entire story up.
And I know it was him too, because he said he was gonna help Hot Sauce get out of jail after he got done. I know it was him.
Oh, something we need to say. I don't know if you want to say it on a regular show. Now we kept forgetting. Y'all know we've been doing this podcast for 6 years.
Yeah, this is our 6th year doing the show. January 6th was the anniversary of...
We keep forgetting.
Yeah, I had it in my phone, and for some reason I set it to remind me the day after. I was like, well, why did I do that? But yeah, 6 years, man. It's official. Official like a whistle, dog. So, yeah, it's dope. All right, let's get through this, okay? We got reviews, we got all kinds of stuff. Let's start with the 5-star reviews. On iTunes. Review number 2 from Talking MNO, who says, I'm not sure if this will work, but I hope it does. I left a 5-star review on the show a while back, but thought, what the hell? Why not do hashtag another one? This podcast is greatness. It's a cultural relevant a podcast as you will find out there. Rod and Karen are by far the hardest working duo putting out free and premium content. Every episode they do is original, entertaining, thought-provoking, and just flat out dope. This isn't just praise for praise sake either. I truly believe in what they're doing and hope as many people as possible give the show a listen. Rod, Karen, keep up the great work. Thanks for the show.
Thank you.
We appreciate you. Breaking news, 5 stars. God keeps blessing, writes. Listen, I've been listening to this show for a few months and kept forgetting to leave a review. I love, love, love this podcast. Rod and Karen are brilliantly funny and insightful. Listen up when Karen starts off with, here's the thing, or it's one of those things, because she's about to teach and it's going to be good, LOL. And Rod is always up to date on the breaking news, i.e. Chipotle and his E. coli issues. I almost went last night. Can't stop me. Mm-hmm. I think he'll be the one to try to tell us the apocalypse is coming, just like the dude with the butter knife on Fear the Walking Dead. Love you folks. I hope I'm that nigga in a suit. I want to be suit dude. Koki Negra. Whoa, she hey, loves a 5-star review.
Hey, sweetie.
She always swearing me off on Twitter. I mean, like, I quit you. This is the last time. I'll be like, every day you quit me? You quit me brand new every 24 hours. Oh,
gotta keep the relationship fresh.
I know. Every day I wake up to Koki telling me I'm done. Old maid school mom should know better. I really should not be listening to this podcast. See, look at me. Trying to deny our love again. It's a shame. I'm a responsible member of society, but no matter what happens, I can't quit Rod and Karen. They keep me from being so stiffy. When I'm not clutching my pearls, I'm enjoying the ratchet very much. Oh, thank you.
That
took a lot for you to say, to admit to yourself.
Yeah, hold on to them tight, baby.
The first part of an addiction is admitting you have one.
Okay? Right.
Really worth 10 stars by Sunflower, smiley face, who says, so, since I haven't left the review in a while, I must have forgotten iTunes restrictions. I remember to save my explicit language for an email next time. But anyway, I love the Blackout Tips, and I love Ryder Karen's take on what's going on in this crazy world. Two great podcasters who care about their fans. If you're not listening to them, you're not woke. Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, she must have been the person that said, I wrote a review, and I was like, yeah, well, I didn't see it. What is it? She was like, yeah, it was like, 5-star bitch. I was like, yeah, iTunes don't like cursing.
Yeah, you might have did stars, it might have rolled past it.
Yeah, yeah, you right, bitch, they are going to stop that.
Yeah, they're gonna assume that you're not talking about a female dog.
Who knows how many more reviews we have in the ether, because somebody was like, my niggas,
and like, iTunes like, nope, yeah, never. They will never see this.
Back to the urban section.
Right, it will when blew it away.
April Schicker says, long overdue. I've had Yo Gotti stuck in my head for about 6 months now and still have a level 5-star review. What? But it's your boy Yo Gotti. Y'all do great. Hey, shit.
Right.
Today is the day. Big thanks to both Rod and Karen for being a humorous and thoughtful part of my day every day. Love your topics. Love your banter and energy. Love the jokes and love your honesty. Thanks for making me think about things in a different way. It helps me grow as a human. I spread the good word about TBGWT every day, and I'm about to get my premium membership going. P.S. Think of all the unknown David Boyd material you had to experience now. Hard. Yeah, I went and listened to some Spotify list with him on there.
Yeah, that list is long.
I went and listened to like the best of and some stuff, kind of skimmed through it. But and somebody sent me like a whole album on Amazon. Oh. So yeah, I'll definitely check it out, man. You know,
he got a lot of classics that people have a tendency to overlook, or they don't really. They've been in commercials, they've been in background, they've been in music, they've been in all kinds of shit that people just don't think twice about it, or don't even realize that he made the song.
Well, I don't. I mean, I'm sure others do, because apparently he was a big deal. You know what I mean? So I just didn't know. I was late, not everybody else. And lastly, T-Dub says, love, love, love the show. 5 stars. I'm finally heeding Karen's call to speak up if you love the show. If only Stefan could speak through me. Here goes. Broadcasting from an iPod Nano tucked away in President Obama's favorite hoodie, this podcast has it all. News, pop culture, music, jokes, sword ratchetness, bullet ball extreme. Like little people in Vin Diesel masks and green flamingos on roller skates bringing you gay news. Give the show a few listens, you'll laugh, you'll cry. Soon, you'll Sylvester scream through the grocery store and start muttering 100 every time. You have to talk to ignorant coworkers or read the news. That is true.
Right. I can't even imagine how many people, when they just get mad just so they don't deal with, they just yell 100 and walk away, and everybody like, what the fuck? What does 100 come from?
Yeah. People do that a lot. Like, I see that on Twitter all the time. Like, it's really, like, we have given that emoji 100 a whole different meaning.
Yeah, you just put 100 at them and just walk away, and then like, what the fuck?
People just put up an article. It'd be like, I don't know. It'd just be like, Donald Trump says black people ain't shit, and then it just see 100. No comment necessary. Like, we get it.
Yes, we do.
Hearing them tell it like it is from a black perspective and stay for the camaraderie. As a personal aside, I've been off work with an injury for the last few months, and listening to the podcast helps give structure to my day and keeps my spirits up through the wretched physical therapy drills. Oh yeah, I understand. Yeah, that
physical therapy ain't no joke, dog.
When I didn't have a job, that was a thing that kind of kept me sane, was listening to certain podcasts that put out shows either every day or every so often. And you know, especially the Keith and the Girl, which goes 5 days a week, was big for me, because it was like, it still gives some routine to my day. Is, you know, I get to listen to this 5 days a week. I actually went premium when I was unemployed, because you know, I believed in them, and I thought I want to kind of almost pay it forward, like one day hopefully people will feel that way about us,
right?
And I remember listening to them and just being like, it felt like, you know, I'm still kind of in my cubicle. I still have, you know, get up, apply for jobs, go to the gym, do all this stuff. And it was really good. Karen's laugh is infectious, and her and Rod's back and forth is a joy. The community that has built up around the show is full of intelligent, thoughtful, down-to-earth, unapologetic nerds who, in true TBGWT style, are funny, open-minded, and ready to discuss the state of our world or just have a meme war. This saltine American is proud to be counted as a fan. Saltine American. Sound like a guest the race right there. And so thankful for the new family found here. Hugs and all. Mwah, mwah. Thank you, T-Dub.
Thank you, sweetie.
Appreciate you.
We do.
And we did get a 1-star review. By the way, we always have people that leave bad reviews, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We typically don't read them on the show. Mm-hmm. And people, just imagine the shit people leave, okay? Just whatever you're thinking, those are the things people don't like, right?
Yep.
Here's the thing. I typically would not read this, but this one I'm reading because it's so funny to me.
Okay.
Like, I really like, I can't stop smiling reading this. Okay.
Okay.
This is from Bear Sanders.
Right?
Now, I'm not saying Bernie Sanders, but Bear Sanders. And I don't think it's a joke. I don't think it's somebody trolling us who's really trying to make us think of Bernie Sanders. This is their name. Okay. A waste of time. 1 star. I tried to listen to this podcast when they put out an episode reviewing Making a Murderer, but magically, they somehow made it all about themselves and about being black. The real kicker was when they started complaining that there was no documentaries about black people being murdered, and that we only care about Stephen Avery's case because that's what we are being told to care about. What do you think the news is? I was so annoyed listening to this podcast, I didn't even make it halfway through before I had to turn it off. That is the exact kind of person that I was saying I don't fuck with.
Right.
Because they're a bunch of egg avatar motherfuckers, dog avatars.
I guarantee he's probably one of the people that hit us up about that shit too, because somebody hit us up about that with that same complaint.
Yeah,
and it's part of that same person.
Yeah, a couple people where I had to get them off my page, like, right. We're not doing this, honey.
What you ain't gonna do, boo-boo, right. is come over here and tell me how to feel about some shit.
I had to turn to Surge. I block you. But I'm just saying, in general, that's exactly the problem, is you have all these people that care about this motherfucker because they were told to care about this motherfucker.
Right.
That motherfucker ain't watched that Central Park 5 documentary. Mm-mm. You know what I'm saying? That motherfucker ain't about that. He don't care about anybody else. You know, he's not fighting for OJ's rights. You know, I guarantee he want that nigga locked up. Like, it's just so funny to see the hate come out. And that's one of the biggest turnoffs about this series, is the kind of person that cares about it doesn't typically care about injustice in any other form.
Come on now!
We talk about this shit 24/7, 365, dog. Like, it's a way of life for us, but for you to dabble your toe in it because a fucking defense team was able to pay a documentary person to put together basically their defense argument and leave out all the evidence that he probably did it. Mm-hmm. You fall hook, line, and sinker for that? Like, if anything, it's a study in, making a murder is a study in how easily most people are manipulated. Which is kind of sad to see people that otherwise are intelligent just fall right into this trap of, yeah, well, if the defense team says he didn't do it, that's their job too.
Yes,
that's their job as well. Like, everybody got a job. While the prosecutor got a job to make it seem like he did it, the other people have a job to make it seem like he didn't. Like, that's just, if you get involved in any single case, you'll come to that. But it's funny who picks which cases to be outraged about.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the cases that people typically feel the most outraged about, it's typically involving white people.
Right.
I'm not saying that all these white people got it, they didn't get done wrong at all. I still feel like Stephen Avery did it, but he was framed. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, the cases that we really, as a society, are told to care about don't involve black people.
Right, because black women go missing, just like all these white women go missing, but you don't see Nancy Grace posting them around, breathing hard, talking about the shit 5 to 10 years later. You have black children to get kidnapped and get missing, don't nobody care. You know, you have a lot of shit that happened to black people that don't even get a second glance. And it's just funny, like you said, you're complaining about the shit that we specifically are talking about. It's like, would you care? Would you even write us? Would you even give a fuck? Would you even have listened to our goddamn podcast if this was happened to be about a black person making the murder? You wouldn't care when it got the ratings and when it got the views. It wouldn't be number one on Netflix.
I wouldn't be shocked if that's the person that I had to block who was telling me how we were racist. But then when I looked into his Twitter, because you can search people's Twitter stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The only time he mentioned Black Lives Matter was to tell them to shut up and that they were being a problem for Bernie Sanders. So
right. They
were like, you guys are just hurting yourselves and shit like that.
Right. That's just like the person that came and added all us because of... And this was ironic, is that, like I said, that Sunday we had just talked to April about the Oscars and, you know, about the racism in the Oscars and shit like that. And then all the nominations came out, everybody got an uproar, and then somebody trolling her was basically trolling us, talking about the race and shit like that. You're like, come on, dog. You only care because people are mad.
We got 5-star reviews on Stitcher. Oh, by the way, my point of reading that is to tell you, they never stop sending us hateful bullshit.
Yeah, we just don't read it.
So if you're sitting on the fence sometime and you're like, oh man, should I send in a 5-star? Yes, you should.
Yes, you should.
Cause people that don't like us never fucking stop.
They never give up, dog.
Yeah. So, hopefully the people that support us never fucking stop, and, we can help combat this shit. Latanya says, 5 stars, you got me, Karen.
Thank you.
I have been listening for almost a year now. I have had to stifle howls of laughter at work for months, and I am loving it. I finally became a premium member today. I couldn't take it anymore. I know Karen was watching. Your podcast is the best, Rod. Karen and Karen are insightful, hilarious, and ratchet enough to make me delight in it. Keep it up. Keep getting some head by the water. And I'll keep laughing. Getting some head by the water.
That's my jam.
Trying to get laid when you can. I can't even remember the rest of that shit. Trying to fuck somebody.
Yes.
We ain't lucky we got him.
You sure ain't.
This ain't good times.
This ain't good times.
Oh, man. Portlandia K says, 5 stars. I've been listening for about a year and a half, and this show is always on the top of my favorites list. First, Rod and Karen are naturally funny, so you will be laughing whether they are talking about dog nasty fast food, E. coli, or current events. And it's more than last. Rod and Karen talk about serious topics in a way you won't hear anywhere else. They are so genuine that you might forget that they aren't actually your friends, even though it feels like you're all just sitting around trying to make sense of things together. You will come to anticipate when Rod's about to bust out laughing and when Karen's about to go off on one of her sermons that gives us life. Trust all the 5-star reviews. This podcast is among the best. Thanks, Portlandia K.
Thank you. Yes, everybody. Continue to send us reviews on iTunes and Stitchers, because like we say, we know the people that don't like us. They are vigilant, and we expect our fans to be just as vigilant or even more, because I am of the belief that love outshines hate. I really do truly believe that, and you guys have been loving and supporting us for a very long time, and we want you to continue to love and support us. And the best way to do it that does not cost you a dime is to leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. Leave us a review on both. If you left one on iTunes, leave us one on Stitcher. If you left one on Stitcher, leave us one on iTunes. And I'm still looking at the people, because like I said, I see the downloads and the reviews don't match the downloads. So it's a whole lot of y'all out there that ain't left one yet. I'm looking at you. Looking at you right now.
Mm-hmm. So we had episodes where we had comments. The first one was our review podcast. I mean, not review, our feedback podcast, 1112. Lust and flip flops. No comments, but the poll was, which is better, ass, titties, or dick? Writer chick left one comment and said, this is an excellent poll, one of the best so far. Now, the results were 34% of people went ass, 26% of people went titties. And winning it all, in a shocker, dick with 39%, guys. Congratulations, dick.
Yes, gay women and men. I mean, yeah, no.
Gay women and men? No. I don't know what they voted for. Gay men probably voted for
gay
dick.
Men
I don't know.
And women. That's what I meant.
Gay men might have voted for ass.
Yeah, they might.
And, you know, gay women might, you know, like, they probably definitely didn't vote for dick, but they got to pick between ass and titties, Karen. This is the most important poll we've ever done.
I'm sorry for making assumptions about people's personal preference. I truly, truly apologize.
Right. And plus, you know, gay women probably eat ass. I mean, it's just, listen, it was just going to be one for the ages. I'm shocked dick won. I'm shocked. Anyway, good for you, dick. We had episode 1113, Space Time Experience, where we had April. From RainaApril.com. Come on, we talked about, we gave you prophecy.
Right, ain't that the truth?
We gave you prophecy when we talked about the Oscars and diversity in Hollywood and,
yeah, probably talk about that more tomorrow, but yes.
Yeah, so we, it's crazy. Crazy to me too, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking, we
had our own just in time.
I know. Anyway, we got some comments. Think Pretty Smart says, one, what type of Mercedes was Black Youngster buying for $200,000? Remember Black Youngster? Got arrested outside the police, got detained outside the bank for withdrawing too much money and fitting the description.
Come on, dog.
Not a concept car, because they are millions. Any Benz he can get, even if it's bulletproof, no amount of rims, tent, TVs, and the headrest add up to $200,000. Two, spending that much cash on one thing is going to have the IRS after him, because the dealership has to report him to the IRS if he gives them more than $10,000 for a down payment. Everyone knows you take $9,999 the first day, then pay the rest in wire transfer and or $9,999 installments. Yeah, everybody knows that. The government will never find it. No, generally, any person in a trade or business who receives more than $10,000 in cash in a single transaction or related transaction must complete Form 8300, report of cash payments over $10,000 received in the trade or business. PDF Form 8300 is a joint form issued by the IRS and the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, and is used by the government to track individuals that evade taxes and those who profit from criminal activities. Then she linked us to the form because she's so thorough.
Oh, so they was like, We don't care about shit under 10,000. Y'all can do what y'all want to, but once you, this right here is the benchmark.
We need to get Miss Barn on the Baller Alert Investigation Unit.
What, she on it?
She put in that research. Celeste 63 says, great show, and I really enjoyed the guest April. Hard to believe she's 46 years old. She looks younger. Man, she looked way younger.
I thought she was in her 20s. With her Avi, I literally thought she was in her 20s.
I know. She won't accept those compliments, though, guys. She will be like, I'm old. I'm like, well, I'm just going to not believe you.
Yeah, I don't believe her either. She's 25.
I think she's really on the run from somebody. It's cool. I don't want to blow her cover.
Right.
You Ain't Got the Answer says, greeting, guys. I love this episode. April is not only inspiring, but she has a great sense of humor. I love when you guys have women on the show that can not only articulate their beliefs, but are witty along with it. She was a pleasure. Having her along with Karen was dynamic. It was, man. I was sitting back listening most of the show. You know what else is cool is, when we have people like that, I think a lot of it goes to almost combat the efforts. Not that there's anything wrong with people that just kind of aren't very humorous or don't really joke a lot and stuff. You know, obviously that, I mean, they don't make the best podcast guests, but there's nothing wrong with people being like that. But there's always this like stigma that women aren't funny and feminist women can't take a joke and all this shit. But we routinely have women that, you know, identify as, you know, especially black women, there's all this, the angry black woman stereotype shit. We routinely have great guests on here that are black women, that are feminists, that are, I'm not saying April's a feminist, you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. However she identifies. But the point being, we have people that, they, because the reputation is, she started Oscar So Black, obviously she's just a uptight, can't take a joke, don't understand, and then it's like, nah, she comes on here and kicks and we have fun. Like, I don't, like, what would make you think that she was such a, you know, like, why would you come up with that image, you know? So anyway, I think it's dope. Rod, thanks for bringing up that Anita documentary. Even though I'm not a five-star celebrity like you, my Hulu subscription allowed me to watch it and I thoroughly enjoy every minute of it. Oh yeah, the Anita Hill documentary. It's good, y'all. You get a chance, check it out.
What's everybody saying?
I think we still have it here somewhere. LOL. I was 4 when it came out and knew nothing about her nor her story. I really appreciate the only black man, Professor Ogletree, supporting her, stated that Anita received no support from other black men because they felt as though she was bringing the black man down. Along with her response of, "Well, look what happened to me. What about me?" That speaks volumes. Yep. Solidarity is for black men. Afterwards, I did my Googles and she is now my Shiro. Thanks for the recommendation. You guys are great.
You're welcome, baby.
And she says, oh, I just realized that the man's name is Professor Ogletree, like the professor on the Parkers. Laugh my ass off. Yikes. Well, I never watched Parkers, so I don't know if that's bad. anyway, nobody really write in like, you don't know David Bowie and the Parkers? Cause
I know that's strike two against you in 2016.
Come on, guys. Will you watch the Oscars this year was the poll. I appreciate the honesty from the 8% of y'all that said yes.
He's like, yep, I watch every year. It's a routine. We throw a party. This is what I do. That's, you know, I got friends and that's their thing. They don't care. This is their thing.
64% said no. And 28% said maybe after the nominations are announced, because the nominations were announced at the time.
Right.
And people were hopeful that maybe some black people would get nominated. So I'm going to assume most of that 28% is no now.
Right.
Cavadonna says, I will because my wife enjoys award shows. I find them boring, but watching the Oscars makes her happy. Hey, the wife hates any form of violence or gore, but she sat through The Walking Dead and Game of Thrones. I can survive a few hours of inane award shows. Marriage is about to give and take. Yeah, well, it's also about having two TVs.
Because I will get up and walk out on you.
Yep. About like, these nice TVs.
Look this.
Put on the use.
Walk my ass on another room.
Karen still ain't seen Black Jesus. I don't know why, guys. It's great. She just refused. Episode 1114, Hot Sauce Speaks. That's sauce. We had comments, but it was just, I believe this episode was just me and Karen, and we discussed David Bowie's death and Sylvester Stallone messing up his speech at the Golden stuff.
Yes, sir.
We got comments. Jawan says, what up, Rod and Karen? Now, this is odd for me as I'm leaving a comment prior to actually listening to this episode since I got to get my hot take in. So my boy hit me up via GChat to share his astonishment that you didn't know, fucks with, or give a shit about David Bowie. Well, I wouldn't say I didn't give a shit, but I mean, I didn't really know anything about him, so.
Right.
I mean, I guess you could technically say that, but it wasn't, it's not in a negative way.
Right.
My response to said indignation was, and so what? Now my boy just couldn't comprehend, wait, y'all be G-chatting about us? What? I just caught that. Now my boy just couldn't comprehend that there was people our age that didn't know Bowie, so I shared a story with him. A few years ago, my girlfriend at the time, who is now my wife, was chilling with me in my apartment and we were watching Glee. One of the characters started singing a song and my girlfriend started getting misty-eyed and started waxing poetic about this particular song. The song was by Kiss and it's called Beth. Now, I'm a DJ and I can nerd out on some music with just about anyone and I never heard this shit in my life up until that very moment. My girlfriend was shocked when I never heard this song before since I said I'm a DJ. So she pulled up a clip on YouTube. I'll save you the horror of sending you that link, but let me describe what I saw. I saw this motherfucker in full makeup singing his whack ass ballad to a studio field of white people on an American Bandstand. To date, outside a Trump Klan rally, this was the whitest shit I'd ever seen in my life. So my girlfriend finished watching the video as she turned to me looking for some type of acknowledgement of this beautiful moment. She thought we were sharing and I said to her, you know I'm black, right? She laughed and said, but you're a DJ. Yeah, that's right. I'm a good DJ. What in the fuck would it look like me playing this whack shit by Kiss? Just because some shit may be popular in your purview doesn't mean everyone knows it. My boy got the hint and hopefully these fools will get out of your mentions. Peace. P.S. Yeah, I watch Glee. Does anyone have a problem with that? Winky face.
Nope.
Nope. You know what I wonder is like.
Nope, because they're going to watch One Tree Hill. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's a lot of people. And Brandon, too.
Right.
Brandon watch a lot of Parenthood. Like, so, you know, a lot of people watch a lot of white shit.
Yeah. Who knows what my shit's gonna be? You know, like when somebody dies or whatever, that I'm gonna be like, you know, where I'm gonna be like, fuck that shit, man. I can't believe nobody knows who the fuck I'm talking about, you know?
I guarantee, right, because for you, it's gonna be, and this is just my prediction, it's gonna be a rapper.
Maybe.
Somebody that you would really have to.
I know, Alan Rickman died, and that was sad to me. He was also 69. He was everybody should know him as Hans Gruber from Die Hard, the original. He's the bad guy.
Mm-hmm. And Snake from Harry Potter.
Yeah, he was Snape. Yep. So, people know who he is. I mean, I don't think it touched me the way that David Bowie died and touched all these other people, but I was a little sad, like, damn, Hans dead?
Right, he's been around a long time.
AJ the engineer says, this fucking with black people segment was rough like usual. I hated the end result of that crossbow story, but love the response of the victim's family. Like you said, I'm tired of black families having to forgive so that everybody else can move on. That dude killed a girl over a bad drug transaction. That's it. I don't care if you have black friends and now you know better. Your ass should have known better back in 1992. I'm glad the victim's family basically said, fuck your opinions and stay locked up. I hope that KKK dude dies in that jail. Rod, you had a great point about the Utah police shooting case. The man was actually trying to help his neighbors earn a few dollars. What suspicious things was he doing? He wasn't stealing or assaulting. He wasn't being a bother to anybody. So what the fuck are you calling the police for? I know it'll never happen, but I really wish we could go back and find the people calling 911 over stuff like this. They really need to answer for their actions. Somebody calls 911 and Tamir ends up dead. Somebody calls 911 from Walmart and John Crawford ends up dead. A neighbor calls 911 about a pool party and a teenager ends up on the ground and her friends being threatened at gunpoint. Yeah, I think, I just want to add one quick thing. I think to a large extent, that is exactly what people want and believe the police are there for.
Mm-hmm.
The things that happen to us after 911 is called, even when we're not doing anything wrong, there's a lot of people that just feel the police are just an extension of helping to
keep them
further safe. Racism and violence towards us. Now, that being said, the Tamir thing is a little different. The person that called 911 said he had a toy gun. 911 dispatcher took that part out. So in that case, I won't see the 911 dispatcher in trouble, you know, but I don't know, man. Cause like the thing is, like I said, I think it was before episode of Balls Deep when I talked about in the pregame. But I had a situation where a neighbor, that I guess they moved since, but they were having a loud argument. This guy and his girlfriend, I'm assuming, were having a loud argument at that car, and they didn't know I was in my car. So when I got out the car, I saw her. I think she was kind of like running to her car, like not running, but like that cry run that like kids do. Mm-hmm. But she was just like, no, I don't want to hear da da da. So they were arguing about something, and she was crying. You know, apparently they argued a lot. Karen said she's seen it before. Mm-hmm. But point being, I didn't have any context to this. I didn't know they argue a lot. I didn't know this was their thing, whatever. So she gets in the car and he's trying to like tell her whatever, like either console her, make her calm down, whatever. And I walk by and I hear it kind of, and I notice it. And when they see me, they both kind of, well, he kind of quiets down. They both kind of quiet down. They're yelling. This is like fucking 7 a.m, y'all. And so then I heard her say, no, get off of me. To which basically like I, like my heart dropped. Cause I'm like, okay, now what do I do?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Because they're a black couple. And part of me is like, well, I can call 911. But doing this shit for a living, I'm like, and then they show up and kill the motherfucker, and I find out that it was just, they were arguing because he got caught cheating or some sexting somebody or fucking, I don't know, she was mad about something else. Like, I don't, like, did I just take their couple spat, which wasn't, you know, did not appear to be violent or physical in any way, and just get the motherfuckers killed in my brain? So and it's sad I even had to think that fucking way, right, in this country. So basically I was like, in my, and this all happens within
a few seconds.
I don't have minutes to think about this. I have a few seconds. So this all happened in a couple of seconds. So I had groceries in my hand. So I just dropped the groceries in my bag and started walking towards them to ask if everything is okay. And then the other thought I had through my head is, you know, if this was some type of violent situation, I don't know what the fuck I'm gonna do. I guess, like, right, at that moment, I'm like, I guess I'm about to fight this motherfucker, which is not, like, I'm not approaching, like, I can't wait to fight this dude. I'm thinking, I'm thinking this as I'm walking over, because I want
this to be peaceful.
Yeah, I can't be the kind of person that walks away from something like this myself.
And do you see a report of some shit about something done happened to this woman?
Yes. Right. So I start walking towards the couple, and then he like, and I saw he was leaned over in the seat. Now, you know, more than likely he's probably like trying to hug her and get her to stay or something like that. But I can't tell what's going on in the car. And in my brain, in my adrenaline pumped up brain, I'm thinking like, is he hitting her? Am I about to like, do I gotta fuck this nigga up, you know, or whatever. So I feel like that was kind of part of it. And so I walk towards them, and when he sees me and makes eye contact, he like stands up out of the car, like he was leaning over the car, like he was trying to hug her or to tell her, like to try to tell her not to leave or grab her keys or something. And when I do that, he gets up and steps away from the car. And matter of fact, I think I still have my groceries in my hands. I just turned and looked towards him and took a couple steps. And so after that, she's able to close the door, and he's like still standing out outside the car. And I realized, well, okay, that's not a violent situation. It's not, he's not threatening her. He's not hitting her. I'm actually glad I didn't call 911. Cause like I said, and maybe it's my own paranoia, but I'm like, I just hope they don't show up and shoot a motherfucker. Cause they, you know, because we saw two black people, gotta just kill them, and then we'll figure it out.
Right. It's shooting out, ask questions later.
Which is sad, because that would never cross probably a white person's mind. They'd just be like, I called 911. They was arguing. Who knows what was going on? And so, then like after I did that, they, you know, like he walked away from the car, kind of, she closed the door and got ready to pull off. And then I turned and walked in the house, and then I thought about it for a few more seconds. I was in the house and I was like, yo, I really don't know how that situation worked out. Let me go back out there. And when I went, they were gone. Like, he was gone, she was gone. Now I saw them later, you know, like, you know, back to lovey-dovey shit. I don't know what that relationship's all about, but and like I said, I've never seen like a bruise or any signs of physical altercations or anything. So I really was inclined to believe it was just a loud argument. But the point being, it's so whack that we live in a world where I'm like, yeah, I can't call 911 because it might be a fucking death sentence.
Not only for them, it might be a death sentence for you, because it's one of the things too where you can call 911, all of a sudden you're a fucking suspect and you're like, motherfucker, I called you.
Yeah, I'm gonna lie, that wasn't even in my thinking. Like, I wasn't even thinking about myself in that manner. Like, what if 911 shoots me? I really was just thinking, like, if they come out there and they see them arguing or something, and also by the time they get here, who knows what the fuck could have happened if it really was something fucked up. But
right,
it's just, I don't know, man. It's just sad that we don't even really have that alternative, man. Mm-mm. It's like, I'm the suspect, you the suspect, she the suspect. Like,
right. for most white people in our country, and for most children, it's kind of ingrained. If you see something bad, call 911, and there's quote unquote supposed to be the good person and take care of the situation.
Right.
And in most situations, things do end up well, but you have a lot of situations where things don't end up well because people don't respond the way they should.
But also, I really wish the police, because like I said, my concern isn't that, like, I'm not gonna call the police and be like, y'all need to get out here and shoot this nigga, but mm-mm. I'm really worried that the police response is, oh, it's black people, let's get out there with our guns and do something about it. And it's like, that response is so over the fucking top. It scares me to be the person I have to call. And I mean, I don't blame these people necessarily for calling. I think the police should be the ones like, well, what's he doing suspicious? Well, he's walking around with a shovel in people's yards. So he's offering to shovel snow? Well, he could. I don't know. Maybe. I don't. Okay. Well, what's suspicious about him? Well, I mean, he got a shovel. Ma'am, it's snowing outside and the people are iced in the driveways. He's going from door to door trying to, okay, all right, we'll look into it. And then they just go, yeah, go out there and just be cat, like, just check to make sure like everything's right. Straight, but don't go out there and be like, let me beat this nigga and shoot him, because then a nigga is dead, shot in the back dead. Because a suspicious 911 call, and it's like, what was suspicious about anything about that shit?
Come on now.
Anyway. It drives me insane because not only are these state sanctioned killings, but they're initiated sometimes by our neighbors. Yeah. All these people are dead or hurt due to the fear of black skin, but the person who called 911 in the first place continues to live their life with no problem. Through all this talk about police training, criminal justice reform, I really hope someone focuses on put on initial 911 dispatches, because the current way is some bullshit. Yeah. Yeah. I think they have to train the dispatchers and the police to be like, all right, look, what's suspicious? Is it just he black and you in this neighborhood and you don't like black people?
Is the person really committing a crime?
Yeah, like I would really appreciate what, like, I have break-ins been going on out here and this is the suspect. Like, I need more than just, I saw a black man walking a dog. I think it's a dog fighting ring around here, guys. Can you come out here and shoot him? You know?
You're like, come on, ma'am. He actually lives in the neighborhood. You need to get to know your neighbors.
Wonga writes in, everyone has their blind spots when it comes to things, and like you guys say, you can't know everything. During Nerd Offs, when either of you or guests start talking about all the different anime you watch, I have no idea what's happening. Yeah, we watching Black Lagoon right now, matter of fact.
It's good.
When you say you didn't know who Bowie was, I thought you'd probably unknowingly know some of his stuff, and as you were reading the article and they mentioned Let's Dance and Labyrinth and stuff, you were like, oh yeah, I got mates who don't really know his shit, but I mentioned Puff Daddy's Been Around the World sample, Let's Dance, and Vanilla Ice got taken to court over using Bowie and Queen's Under Pressure for Ice Ice Baby, and mm-hmm. they're like, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Also, in Guardians of the Galaxy, when they are flying into nowhere to meet the Collector, it's a Bowie track playing. I brought the soundtrack, ha ha ha. And as usual, the show helped me get through the work day, so thanks. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. I didn't know that about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Me neither. And the poll was, do you ever play the lottery? Yes, I've helped free hot sauce before. And no, I don't care about black love. All right. Hold on. It was either yes, I've helped free hot sauce before, or no, I don't care about black love. 61% of y'all said yes, I've helped free hot sauce before, and 39% of y'all don't care about black love. That's sad, man. That's real sad that y'all would be that cynical. Y'all support this show, but y'all don't support hot sauce, black love. That's sad, man.
A lot of people do.
Not enough. We put our episode for the State of the Union holiday, which was actually Balls D Sports 135 Drunk D Sports mm-hmm. put it out for people just to hear what you're missing on the premium side, okay guys. So the actual comments to the episode, writer chick just says the best episode ever. Yeah, we got a lot of that. A lot of people had a really good time listening to that mm-hmm. that weren't premium, so they never heard it before.
Yeah, you, I gotta tell people, you don't have to know nothing about sports to listen to Balls Deep Sports.
Yeah.
Because we just basically on there having a good time. And for those that are not premium, Roderick and Justin spent an hour talking about TV shows. They talk about Love and Hip Hop and Love and Flip Flops or whatever you want to call it, and other shows they've been watching. So, yeah, I think last year for the Super Bowl, they actually named the show We Ain't Talk About Super Bowl. So, you know, that goes to show you, you know, how yeah. much of a sports show the sports show is.
Sometimes it's, I mean, I think we know our shit, but sometimes, we just don't take it as seriously as everybody else.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to be yelling at Justin like Skip and fucking Stephen A over shit that doesn't really affect anybody's life. Mm-hmm. HC says three things. One, I need to claim my pigskin pick'em prize after choking it away in week 17 last year. Yes, you do, man. What's your email address and all this shit? Email
yes,
me.
Yes, because you never hit
people trying
back.
To get your shit, dog. Yes, B-Cole already emailed us in, man. So you need to email me to blackouttoots@gmail.com so you can get your shit, bruh.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, this drunken greatness felt like the epic Four Loko episode of years past. Speaking of drunkenness, number three, Rod and Justin probably should take an idea from Pac-Man Jones and record an apology to Steve Smith and post it on Instagram. Steve seems like the type that would take any and every opportunity to toss someone up in these streets. TBGWT has a wide reach, though. I'd see the humor if he fought y'all without even hearing this episode, but turned out to be a Bernie stan seeking revenge. Yeah, I do apologize to Steve Smith. If anybody listening to this can tell him I'm sorry. Unless he didn't hear the original comments, in which case, don't tell him anything, because he might want to listen to him. But I mean, it won't, the thing about fighting Steve Smith is I won't know it until I'm already knocked out. So
right.
In a way, it's really nothing I can do about it.
Mm-mm.
You know, he just gonna sneak me. and the poll was, is Steph Curry hurting the game of basketball? Yes or no? Yes. 5% of y'all think he is hurting the game of basketball, and 95% of y'all say no, which I agree with. Writer chick says, this is the one time I really agree with Justin. The game is hurt by the guy who gets in the NBA and thinks he can do shit like Steph without putting in the hard work. Yeah. Well, Justin is routinely wrong. Yeah. And sometimes, like a broken clock, he can be right.
Every now and then he is.
Yeah. You just never know with that guy.
Mm-mm.
Episode 1116, What's Wrong with Black Girl Magic, was the last episode of the week. So let me wait for this page to load. And we talked about creepy sex dolls,
mm-hmm.
Steve and Avery, a bunch of stuff. Anyway, the comments, Teresa says, oh wait, no, Maya B stars out. Out of spite towards that woman, I bought a Black Girl Magic shirt just ahead of time of my panel at my university discussing black superheroes and black comic creators for our civil rights conference. Since she thinks we're Miss Marvel and Vixen combined, I'm going to wear my shirt while discussing magical Negroes. Thank y'all for the link.
You're yeah. more than welcome, baby.
In the show notes, I put a link to the Black Girl Magic t-shirts
cool.
from our girl, the PMB, on Twitter.
Cool.
So you guys can actually like go support.
Mm-hmm.
Teresa says, I heard an interview with a psychologist at University of Toronto. It may be the same one quoted in the article about child sex dolls, and it changed my perspective about pedophiles, child molesters a bit. Please don't misunderstand. I have no love lost for anyone who abuses children. First, there is a distinction between the two. Pedophiles are sexually attracted to prepubescent children and have not necessarily abused a child. Child molesters have actually abused a child. Most of what we know about our child molesters / pedophile who have offended, we know next to nothing about pedophiles who have never offended. Well, it's impossible to know. It's like trying to prove a negative, right? If you haven't offended, people won't know unless you say it, but if you're not acting on those impulses, nobody necessarily is gonna believe you. Psychologists / doctors must report if they find, I mean, by the way, I don't think people out here just telling people that shit, by the way, like, do you know I'm only attracted to prepubescent kids? And everybody's like, all right, well, thanks for sharing. Like, nah, people just ain't people probably are not telling very many people that if they are feeling that way.
Right.
Psychologists and doctors must report if they find a patient is a pedophile even without having offended. So someone that wants to get help to not offend cannot get it without criminalization. You were spot on with your pre-crime joke. Yeah, well, you know, I've been doing this for a while, Teresa. You know what I'm saying? I'm kind of good with these jokes. This dude said they had a patient that got caught in a To Catch a Predator type sting and was happy because he knew he could get help. He had not offended before that day. Perhaps he would have if it were a child and not a sting. Well, I mean, that situation is where you're going to do it. But they should be able to get help before they get to that point. Right now, it's not even possible. But they can get one of these little child sex dolls, man. You know, keep it around the house. I'm sure everybody will think that's cool. I think we need to remember that if we keep children safe from being abused / molested, we need to change this reactive response to pedophiles so they can seek treatment before they think of offending. Otherwise, we just wait until they do and the child they molest are not spared that harm. Well, let me just tell you this, dog. Even if you have these dolls, that's still going to happen. So, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, some people are still going to do it is my guess. So, yeah, hopefully it can help somebody. Hopefully, you know, maybe they can study it or something. You know, I hope it can help somebody, but I don't know, man. I don't know what you do. I think that's the thing is everybody's so scared to admit we don't fucking know what to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
What to do, then people would just do it, but we don't, you know. And honestly, it ain't my solution. It ain't my problem to fix, really. Like, I don't have the tools to fix that issue. All I know is that it's a terrible thing to be doing to children and shit. And it's probably terrible to live with that predilection, but I don't know what to tell. I don't think the whatever the solution is not going to be nice. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? It's going to end up being like chemical castration or fucking prison time, or it's not gonna be something cool that we all go, hey, yeah, and then he just started, you know, she or he just started saying I'm gonna fuck adults and that was it. We figured it out. AJ the engineer says, if there's anybody who needs to use the motto new year new me, it's Marie Holmes. I hate it when people tell others how to use their money, but I gotta break my rule this time. If this ain't an episode of As the Hood Turns.
Oh.
As the Hood Turns. Let's recap. Marie wins the lottery and bails out her man Hot Sauce. Great. The nigga doesn't stop selling drugs despite her new winnings and gets locked up again and you bail him out again. Okay? Now you mean to tell me that after he gets bailed out, he goes and fucks other women? Other women that you then pay off so that they stop sleeping with him? Huh? So you gonna go broke paying off other women and bailing out Hot Sauce? What in the fuck? Miss Marie, get the fuck out of that town. You got money now. You can pack up and move. Find love elsewhere. Leave that ain't shit nigga with Nikki and her cousin and those bed sheets. I really believe Hot Sauce when he says cops are targeting him because they know his girl has the money. But now this nigga can't stop selling drugs or sleeping with other women. I think I finally understand who really won the lottery in this situation. AJ, why are you gonna believe the side chick over Hot Sauce? Really? You just gonna take the side chick narrative and run with it. That's what's wrong with y'all, man. Y'all don't want black love to work. You just gonna believe anything. So just anybody with a camera can get on there and be like, he jacked my titties with his little dick. Huh? What you gonna say about that? Huh? Huh? Like that lady didn't seem very credible to me. I'm sorry. We gotta do a Making a Murder about this. Where is Netflix with this?
With this one, I would watch the hell out of this.
making a broke nigga. It could be how she can lose all that lottery money.
Breaking the Murder, Hot Sauce.
Right. The Hot Sauce edition.
Right.
Should they make sex dolls of children to stop pedophiles? Nah, it's gonna make things worse. Or sure, sounds like a good plan. Oh, that was the other thing too. Everybody glossed over that dude, that one scientist in the article that was like, yeah, I think it's just gonna get worse. it was like yeah, that's not, yeah, that's just gonna make thing. Them want to fuck these kids. So anyway, nah, it's just gonna make things worse. 96.15% said yeah, it's gonna make things worse, and 3.85% said sounds like a good plan. So there you go. We only got two voicemails. One of them was over the 3 minutes, and it was from an undisclosed number.
Mm-mm.
So here's the thing. I think we have to pass a new rule. No more caller from block numbers.
Mm-mm.
Like, the anonymous call shit is bullshit, and that one troll dude was doing it, and honestly, I think this might even be that troll dude trying to disguise his voice with this like weird accent or something. But if it's not him, it's also weird that you called, didn't say your name, or whatever, you know. The person was taking us out of, like, they were saying stuff we never said on the show. All right, matter of fact, let me play some of it. I do want to play some of it so you guys can hear.
Hey, man, I was just calling. I was listening to your show from Wednesday, I think it is, today. I listened to it late. But, yeah, fuck Ricky Gervais. To your point.
Like, that sounds like that dude to me, but disguising his voice, right? And then also, like, it was also another... a lot of things we both said, but mostly targeted towards me.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing was things that we didn't say, which was a calling card to this guy. Like, I don't have to forgive Ricky Gervais. You guys, said that I had to celebrate him for not I never told you what to do. And I never said that, anyone has to forgive him. I said the thing I like about him is that he didn't try to write out for himself with a fake ass apology
that he didn't mean
to make it seem like y'all are just being mean to me. He was like, nah, y'all are cunt and fuck y'all. And that to me means you don't have to like him. You can just be like, fuck him. I don't support him. I don't like him at all. And nobody can ever judge you for it. Cause he didn't apologize. He didn't back down. And I like when people do that. Stand your ground. Don't just back down because it wasn't an accident. He didn't see the error of his ways. He went up there and made those jokes he worked weeks on those jokes. I guarantee it. So if you don't like him, then you genuinely just don't like him. And I like that he stuck to his guns on that shit. You know, I don't think you have to find him funny or anything. No one can speak for what you find funny. But yeah, I like people that are unapologetic when they do shit that they know is going to be offensive. I just personally, I'm not a fan of the pop shit apologize motherfuckers, and nobody ever forgives them anyway. So why even waste your time? I still haven't met the person that forgave Amy Schumer or Daniel Tosh. Like, none of these people forgive these people. Why are we even pretending? Like, I'm just not gonna go through the bullshit. Anyway, don't ever call in again from an undisclosed number.
Yep.
And also, you lied to me, bro. You told me you were never gonna call me back when we did our medium talk. Can't believe you bullshitted me. Next.
Hey, Ron and Karen. This is Monica in New York. And it's so late. I'm calling you guys because I didn't want to miss being on the feedback show. I wanted to comment on Monday's episode, Hot Sauce Speak. So I'm a giant, giant David Bowie fan, and this week has been rough. But anyway, I was really happy that you talked about Bowie and talked about the highlights of his career, you know, you're reading that article. And because you guys are like friends in my head, I was just excited, you know, because like Bowie has been an important part of my life. I was just excited you were talking about him, even in, you know, on the sad occasion. But, yeah, it would never cross my mind to, like, be so condescending as to be like, you don't know David Bowie. Like, that really pissed me off that when people did that to you. That's, I really can't stand that kind of, like, snobbery. It's really, really stupid. I think all it is a way for people to tell you that they think they're better than you, which is really stupid. Anywho, so I just want to say, like, man, how much in the world do we not know about? Like, there's always a chance to learn. And if you don't like it, so what? You know, whatever. Don't even matter. Okay, and then also a really quick one to comment on the Stallone. Also, I agree with you with that. You know, like, I was super rooting for him. I loved Creed so much. My favorite things in 2015 were Creed and Star Wars. And, yeah, it was really fucked up that he forgot to thank the director, mostly. That really sucked. But whatever. It happens. Move on. And then really quick, last thing I want to say is, forgive me, Karen, for I have sinned. I ate at Chipotle about 4 weeks ago. And I felt really bad afterwards, and thankfully I didn't get sick. But I heard your voice in my head, and now I'll never go back. So anyway, thanks for another great week, and hopefully I'll talk to you soon. All right, take care, guys.
Thank you, Monica.
Well, glad you're still with us, baby.
Yeah, I definitely won't. Chipotle still, so. Anyway, phone lines are open. 704-557-0186. 704-557-0186. It's a phone line. Oh, my God. Anyway, you can call in and talk to us before we get off the air. And, of course, we're about to, be up out of here, okay? Let's read these feedback emails. Brandon says, Rod and Karen, just felt the need to write an email to you, too, and thank you for the hard work and content you put out. Rod, I'm the guy on Twitter the other day who thanked you and Chris for inspiring me to get back into writing and blogging. I'm at my first movie screener today, and it feels great to get my creative juices flowing again. You and Karen are my favorite podcast, and you guys have so much passion for what you and my fiance and I love Karen's passion and her rants, and we love Rod's jokes and overall funny nature. I'm going to take this slow and get some reviews and some content before I launch my website, but this would not happen without you, so thanks. Oh man, thank you. Appreciate that, man. Glad to inspire. Let's see. Oh yeah, this is my gift I got from Minerva, who says, The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars, which is David Bowie album that she gifted me on Amazon. And it says, for Karen, who said, I don't know his music like that, but I was not oblivious. And Rod, because lots of rock fans don't know him either. He's weird and very old school. Cheers. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
I'll definitely be listening. Kimberly writes in episode 1113, Space Time Experience. Happy New Year. With the holidays, I got so behind, so I'm glad to be able to write in on an episode that I heard before the feedback show. The discussion on the Oscars, I'm writing this after the Golden Globes have aired, so I'll save my comment on that until I hear it. My main comment is regarding movie trailers, because I fast forward past TV commercials. Most movie trailers I see are at the theater. I purposely get to the movie in time to see the trailer and then note which movies I want to see in the future. Over the holidays, I saw Concussion and The Big Short. This is the first time I noticed the real difference in movie trailers. Admittedly, I mainly see black films in the theater, so this is probably why. With that, I was totally surprised that they did not show the trailer for Ride Along 2 at The Big Short. I almost got shushed in the theater for discussing this with my hubby. I mean, Ride Along made quite a bit of money. And, oh, hold on, phone. Hey, you're on with the Blackout Tips.
Hi, this is Kara. How are you guys doing?
Hey Kara, baby. Doing great. How you doing?
Good. Thank you. I wanted to call because on the last week, I think I asked you guys, hey, what do you think about the 140 characters of Twitter, like, possibly being taken away? And I loved your response. You're like, I don't care. that was good, but I guess I felt like I was obligated to call back and say, why I thought like it was something to be, I don't know, not worried about, but concerned about, because Twitter's CEO, I don't know, it's like he's not even paying attention in the real world of like this phenomenon that's been going on with Twitter.
Right.
You have the Zola story, which was amazing. I mean, regardless of whether or not it's true or if she got in trouble, I think the things that she wrote about were astounding. And with the 140 character limit, it's like, I don't know, you really see what a person can do under such a constraint. And right. She wove this amazing story. I just loved it. I mean, right. I know it was dangerous, and I know there was a lot of unethical behavior, one might say, but she told it in such a way that was phenomenal. And then there were other people who were doing it. There's that guy who, he was using Alfonso Rivera photos, and I think he also did another story using, Drake, I think. Yeah. And his stories were great, too. And then there was another beautiful anecdote of a woman of color in an office setting who just gave it to this other dude who never seemed to be able to get her name right. Or, mm-hmm. It was something along those lines, right?
That. Yeah, that was funny.
So when I hear that, like, now, after these phenomena, Twitter, and the CEO of Twitter, who happens to be a white dude, is like, right. You know, I think it's time we start changing the format, because, I don't know, it seems like a lot of people want to use more than 140 characters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true, but I would go to Facebook for something like that.
Right.
Or I'd send you an email. I don't know. I think Twitter and what it's doing now is really important, because so far the stories that I see are distinctly Black American voices.
Right.
So to, like, come into Twitter and say, you know what, I think I want to change the format right now, it's a really good idea. No. No, who are you listening to? Why would that be a good idea right now, and for who?
Well, all right. Right. Here's... All right, from a content creator slash, like, if not even content creator, from a business perspective, on his side, his problem with everything you just said is when you said, I would go to Facebook. When you said, I would go to Facebook for this other thing, is him being like, well, that's just us helping the competition. I would like to keep you here somehow. Now, the options that he's providing for these tweets is not actually going to change very much, right? What it is is like, we already have Tweet Longer. You ever see those Tweet Longer links where? Okay.
No.
Yeah.
Well, people tweet and it's over 140 characters, and then it's like, click this link to read the rest of this shit. That's essentially what they would be putting in. Like, it's still going to tell you it's 140 characters. It's going to warn you that you're going over 140 characters, and then after you tweet over 140 characters, it's not going to just show up on someone's feed where they see 1,000 characters. They're going to have to click on that.
Okay, that was
to
my
go,
problem.
To go to this.
And, like,
yeah.
See more like that.
Right. Now and the reason that he, according, you know, I read this article, and according to him, the reasoning for it was people were starting to do stuff like take pictures of long form posts and put the picture on Twitter. And he was like, well, why even have a middleman where you got to go find a picture, or you type all this out, take a screenshot of it, then post it. It was like, we should be able to host that on our site. And I guess when they originally conceived Twitter in his head, it was always, they were limited to 140 characters because of just technology. So In his mind, he always thought, what if people were able to just share a free flowing blog format? And they were like, whoever, you know, the scientists behind Twitter were like, yeah, that's cool, bro, but we can't get more than 140 characters.
Yeah, because people are paying 10 cents a text. Like, yeah. You know, they've been around for a hot minute.
Yeah, the SMS stuff.
They were like, this shit will blow up our servers and we'll never be able to do all that shit. You know, and Twitter used to go down all the time. I remember it'd be like, the World Cup, we'd be all excited. Then it's like, Twitter's down. So, so I think in his mind, this is actually more approaching the original vision that he had. And if it is the way that he says it is, it should not stop what Twitter is doing right now. It should only add to its capabilities. But, you know, we'll see how it's executed. Cause if everybody started using that Tweet Longer format, then yeah, people are gonna leave. But if only, like, but say, like, if Zola could put all her thing in one big long ass story, and it was just one tweet to share it, instead of 75 people on your timeline resharing her story 75 different times and all that stuff, if it was just one, like, boom, here's her whole story, some people might be okay with it, some people might like that better. So we'll see.
I wouldn't have read it. You know why? It's like, I like the shorter messages and going to the next one. It's closer to page flipping for me in, like, a digital format, even more so than reading something in Kindle. Like, Kindle will give you the size of a page as far as the layout. But with Twitter, going to that next tweet just feels like closer to a format of a digital book for me.
But I agree. It feels more like a conversation. And for the record, Zola's story could still be told the same way, even with the new, like, format thing. Like, it wouldn't be like, okay, now go make these a long form. It was, she could still do the story exactly how she's doing it. So, you know, I just think we all worry so much, and I kind of want to see what's going to happen. Like, if it sucks, trust me, they'll unroll that shit. They've done stuff before where they were like, this is a great idea, and everybody was like, this fucking sucks, and they were like, actually, we'll take that feature back, don't worry about it, sorry, you know.
Well, thank you for adding that in. I hadn't thought of it that way, so
it's all good.
Well, you know, before I sign off, let me have my bird tweet in the phone, see, since we're talking about Twitter.
Okay.
My bird Parker, you hear that?
Yeah, I heard her back there tweeting.
All right, well, we both say goodbye and we love you and maybe talk to you next week.
All right, Kara.
Peace.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see, where are we at on this email? Shushed in the theater. Oh, there's no doubt that white people have seen the movie. Oh, here we go. Ride Along made quite a bit of money, and Cube and Kevin have been making the rounds on mainstream shows with success. There's no doubt that white people have seen that movie. And when the trailer was aired in Concussion, the white people around me laughed. So I was clueless as to why it was not shown during The Big Short. It wasn't a comedy versus drama thing, because the trailer for the Zoolander sequel was shown. Perhaps it was the area. As movie reviewers, do you know if trailers are specific locations or movies? I do not know that. As someone that's seen a lot of movies, I do believe that.
Yeah,
they definitely know the demographics of who gonna come in that shit,
right? And also, they have different versions, because you actually see them on TV. It'd be the same movie, but when you watch it doing TNT, it's all the action. If you watch it doing your daytime soap drama, it's all the love. And when you watch the movie, you was like, this fucking movie didn't have anything to do with either one of these. So I do believe that they strategically put certain movie trailers with certain movies, and the other movies they don't put them there.
Yeah, so I definitely understand your point, though.
Me too.
We saw Concussion in Atlanta and The Big Short in Fort Lauderdale. At any rate, I'd love to hear your thoughts. Totally enjoy the show. April on the show. Cool. Oh, we got another phone call. Yo, you're on with the Blackout Tips.
How we doing today, Mr. and Mrs. Tips?
Great,
hey,
man.
Hey, how you doing?
They call me Mr. Right. Tips. who is this, man? Who is this?
This is Eric calling from the bill, man.
Oh, what's up, man?
Just cool, man. Another day in the life. Look, I just tuned into the show a little bit late, and I was listening, and it sort of struck me as a nerve. And I was like, look, I think the fuckboys need a 15-second PSA. You see how this just happened, fuckboys?
Mm-hmm.
See how it just happened? I just called him directly. If I have something real derogative to say, here's my chance. Right here. Right now. That's it. I got all the time. I even got Carol on the line. So, boys, I can say all the negative shit in the world right now.
Yeah, it is funny how people really have tuned into the anonymity provided by the internet to, you know, spit the most fucked up venomous shit. But then in an actual exchange conversation, it's like, nah, I don't want to do that. I just want to talk my shit.
That's too much like confrontation, even though you're still only on the phone. I mean, this ain't no Jets and shit. Like, what you going to reach through a snatch his neck?
Right. That was what I was telling that dude that we did the menial talk, that troll dude. Well, he was like, well, I feel like, you know, you're threatening me. And I was like, what am I going to do to you, dog? I'm not threatening. Like, I don't even threaten people because what the fuck? It's stupid. I'm not going to hurt you over the phone. Like, if anything, I'm just gonna hang up or some shit if I don't want to talk to you. But this, like, the idea of being like threatened by me because I disagree with you or something is so it's so stupid, man.
Yeah, really. Oh, and quick question for Miss Karen.
Yes.
So, sweetheart, what you reading lately?
Say that again.
What you been reading lately?
Ooh, I've been reading The Walking Dead comics. I have really been loving that, and I haven't been reading any ratchet shit as far as like what we have been reading for our comic book club thingy. But I also been but I don't want to go into nerd up. I said I also been, you know, playing Life is Strange.
Yeah,
I've been playing the hell out of that.
Yeah, we gotta do a nerd off soon.
Yeah, I can't even. I'm not even gonna ask. That would just be too much. You just enjoy that game. Enjoy that game.
And that's what everybody's been saying.
Yeah, I appreciate everybody being so conscious of spoilers when it comes to that game. Like, everybody that's playing it just be like, oh, just wait.
Yeah, man, because, like, you played it, so you're like, I don't want to say anything. Let me just say nothing. I'm going to ask where you are, because that just might constitute, like, a sigh or something. Nah.
Well, all right, man. Thanks, Aaron, man.
Thank you.
All right, man. Y'all take it easy. All right,
all right, be safe in the Ville, bro.
Stay off the murk, homie.
Yes, sir.
We sure will stay off the murk.
Yeah, watch out, man. Vietnam is so real. People don't be knowing. Episode 1113, follow-up comment that wouldn't post. Oh, okay. So my girl, Miss Spark, wrote back in. Said, update. According to reports, black youngster doesn't have an account with Wells Fargo and was only holding about $70,000, which belonged to his manager. Okay. And she said, first comment submitted fine via Mac, but I got empty capture error when I tried to submit on Windows, Chrome, and Fox. Okay, I don't know what happened with that.
Got the investigative team. We do need you on Ball Alert, lady.
I'm telling you, man, she be figuring it out.
She on the case.
Yep, so apparently maybe black youngster was lying. Well, anyway, he played the cops. He got out of there with his money. Sometimes you gotta do that.
Gotta fake it till you make it.
Yep. Shout out to my man Charles E. I'll say B the second. I don't want to put your whole government out there, but he sent me a gift on my Amazon wish list. Now I got main bitch dream side bitch status too. Oh, thank you.
Oh shit, she made a second one.
Yeah, a lot of these have sequels since they only like 30 minutes to read. You know.
Oh, we got to get that book club up. I know I'm holding up the process, y'all. I know. I'm going to get on it.
Season 2 that started for Empire.
I'm not watching season 2. I get through season 1. That was a deal.
Yeah, you haven't even started. I'm just saying. It's your fault. I'm not even doing this. Question. This is from App Evil, says, Karen, if you get an interview with Drake, but all you had to do was rub and kiss on his chest for 1 minute, would you do it? Then he said, P.S. don't block me. It's just a question. What?
I don't know about his chest. I rubbed his beard.
Yeah, I don't know. What is this going on? Who has interviewed the man's like that? Yes, I'll let you interview me, but I need you to suck and rub on my chest for 1 minute.
I like his beard game.
Yep. David Bowie writes in. Wait, what? No, Hiroja Shah writes in, and the title is David Bowie. I was about to say. Like, do we just, what the fuck kind of metaphysical plane are we on?
I know what's happening right now.
Dear Rod and Karen, growing up listening to a very diversified musical selection, which I got from my parents, whom would often play music throughout the house while doing chores, or just have it on in the background during dinner time instead of music, or I guess instead of TV. I clearly remember as a child, my parents had one of those stereo systems with like 4 really big speakers and 2 tape decks, a record player. The do not touch this or you will get your ass whooped claws.
Yep.
We all know that.
Fuck up the sound.
Yep. I still fucked up one of my dad's speakers. Couldn't help myself. Just an example of the music played in my home. In one listening session, I could hear Patti LaBelle, I'm in Love Again, album on the record player, then go Madonna's True Blue or tape, then Born in the USA or on tape. Yeah, I mean, my dad listened to a lot of diverse music. My thing is, I just didn't pick that up from him. But yeah, I grew up, he put like Pink, I'm sure he played some David Bowie. I remember Pink Floyd and shit. I don't remember all that shit, but
your dad's very diverse.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if he had a bunch of David Bowie records. Maybe. I don't know. I just don't remember it all. I remember The Police and...
Right. You know how kids are. Kids don't give a fuck about their parents' music. Let's just keep that real.
Well, I would pay attention when he threw on, like, Public Enemy. My dad was a big Public Enemy fan. That was one of the reasons I love rap, is hearing that damn Public Enemy. Let's see. And the David Bowie, Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust on the record player. The reason I listened to David Bowie often growing up was Bowie was one of my dad's favorite artists from the 70s, which was very unusual because my dad, a black man, did not really like 70s rock or rock bands in general. Most of the time, my mother would play such music. I remember asking my dad one time why he played David Bowie all the time. He did not like rock music, and he said David Bowie is a really good artist, but most importantly, as a white man, he has openly and consistently said the reason he can play rock music is because of black people. Black people made rock and roll, and everyone needs to know it, respect it, and acknowledge it. Rock music is not here because of white people slash Elvis. My dad really hated Elvis. Yeah, all old black men do. It's because of black people. So while his passing made me really sad, I also remember David Bowie most for being my first introduction into what would be a regular segment in my life, keeping it real with dad. Man, did my dad really hate Elvis. Have a great show. I feel like all old black men hate Elvis. I feel like that's why my dad liked Public Enemy when he had that. Elvis was a hero the most, but it never meant shit to me. Straight up racist that cracker was, simple and plain. Motherfuck him and John Wayne. That's my motherfucking shit. Anyway, guys, we'll talk to y'all Sunday. We'll talk to y'all Sunday
tomorrow.
So and then I think at 1:15 today, so in 15 to 20 minutes, mm-hmm. we're gonna be on Mr. Span's The Span Report, which will be dope. So and I don't know if he's sending out a link for other people to join in live or not.
Me either.
But we'll definitely be on that joint, and if he does have a link, I'll send it to everybody. But make sure you check out The Span Report when you get a second.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow. Until then, love you.
I love you too. Mwah.